Ruby.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we are doing section 14 of Parsha Noah. And it is starting with verse or pasuk 94. And I'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud kutshabarishu ishkin tevid hilu urhi mulud hilu urhi urhimu. Leyakta Lashem Yudhe bavate yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayhina amadunai elohinu alenu ma'asei adenu kanane alenu ma'asei adenu kananehu. Ad alo azle amu had yudai. Kahawate amar rabi yasei. Ay barnash yuda yihu v'yitchazei. Padmata gabaihu shayya amar lon shalicha b'mitzvad anadeha anandi daire ikpar deramin umate zima zina lechag v'anan Zeri King Lulav, Vizim Indiei Mea, Piana Azil Lekata, Lon Lemitzva, Azalu Kachada. As they were walking along, they saw an Israelite coming toward them. Rabbi Yossi said that this person is an Israelite because he looks like an Israelite. When he reached them, they asked him who he was. He told them that he was on a religious errand as he lived in the village of Dramin, and the time of Sukkot having arrived, they needed a lulav and the other three kinds. He was on his way to cut them down for the purpose of the mitzvah. They walked together. Questions, comments, thoughts?
What does it mean because he looks like a Jew?
Well, what does an Israelite look like to you?
I'm sorry, what?
What does an Israelite look like to you in this generation?
Well, I just think
you
it's curious.
In, you lived in Israel.
But I just thought it was curious that
you
they made that phrase before they asked who he was.
Yes, I agree. It is curious. It's more than curious. Why do you think they were doing that?
Well, evidently he was a new person come into the village. So maybe they figured if
it
was a new person.
It doesn't even say they were. They were walking on a road. And they saw a man coming toward them, and they decided he was an Israelite. But we haven't defined what is an Israelite yet. And so why would he look like an Israelite? So there's one hint, is it could be a spiritual walk. And therefore everything is known in that level. So they would know that the man was an Israelite. Another way is he was wearing, in today's generation, he would be wearing a black suit with a black hat. with a white shirt. And he looks like an Israelite then, because he's wearing those clothes. He's got tzitzit hanging out of his pants. Or in the case of a woman, she's got her hair covered in some way. And she's modestly dressed. All of these kinds of things that we do as mitzvot affect the way we appear to others. And that's part of what the verse is teaching us. It didn't just say this, it didn't just start out this way and said, well, there's an Israelite coming. It's teaching us to think about, why do we perceive a person in one way or another? When you see a God forbid, a harlot, she's dressed like a harlot, you know that's the way you perceive her. Does it mean she's a harlot? Not necessarily, but we perceive the people the way they dress. And we put people in classifications. We put people in boxes. Is that something we should be doing?
No.
But this is the idea of what this verse comes to teach us. The title of the section is Israelite, so it's going to tell us what is an Israelite.
Did the version actually say Israelite, or are you just using that term because it's what we need to do today? Because my version says Jew, and I'm just curious.
I'm looking in the Aramaic.
May I ask a question?
Yes, of course.
Would Jew just be a reference to one tribe of Israel? One tribe of the Israelites?
No,
not?
The Israelite means one. The term Israelite would mean, say, children of Israel, one of the 12 tribes. It doesn't say one tribe.
But she said in her
today's
version,
world.
Go ahead.
You go ahead. Finish. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, I'm just saying that she said that her version says Jew instead of Israelite. And my question was, in reference to Jew, would that apply to only, like you were stating, only one tribe of the Israelites?
In other words, the tribe of Judah. I do see a word
that is
close to Yehuda in Hebrew.
First off, there is the word Israel, the word Judah, or Judea, or Yudi. None of those terms are in this Aramaic verse. Oh, actually, the word is Judah. Judah is here.
There's one that's close.
The word is Judah. It's in the Aramaic, it's the sixth word in the first line, and the fourth word in the second line.
I have it as the sixth word in the first line, the second word in the second line. But that's okay.
Okay, but you see where it's spelled Yud Bab Dawud Aleph Yud.
Yeah. I would think that was pronounced Yudai.
Exactly.
Yud being a vowel extender. under the Dalit. But I may not be correct. Uh-huh. So.
No, it is a Gematz under the Dalit.
Mm-hmm. But usually there's not a letter in front of it, you know, in front of the Yod. That's as close to Yehuda or Yehudi that we could get.
In Hebrew, it's missing a hey. So it's a different, you know, the Aramaic's got a different spelling altogether. But to answer Ruby's question, it is saying Jew, but the translation in my book is saying Israelite. And this is an issue that I constantly raise, because in the Orthodox community, they always speak in terms of Jews and not children of Israel, because of the 10 lost tribes. And they want to keep themselves separate, meaning keep the tribe of Judah separate. And it's an attitude that is very prevalent throughout the Orthodox community.
Well, my version I think the first one that came out. Excuse me.
Please say again.
I said my version is the first one that came out. You know, I was able to get it when it first came out. So.
I'm not understanding you because you're breaking up when you say the meaningful word. Your version, it says...
It says Jew, but my version is the first version that came out from the Kabbalah Center. And, I mean, I agree with you that we should say Israelites, but I was just wondering if your version said it, or if you were using the term yourself. No big deal.
No. Okay.
I ask about the phrase because he looks like a Jew, only because I wanted you to expand on it.
I understand. And I think I did expand upon it. You did. It's the whole issue of the mindset. The words we use creates the mindset. And it creates lots of issues because the words we use are coming from the society that we have surrounded ourselves by.
Well, I wondered if Rabbi Yossi was seeing this person, his spiritual body, his spiritual self, rather than his physical look.
Yeah, and
I probably should have asked that question specifically.
And I think, you know, I did mention that it could be coming to tell us that it is a spiritual walk.
And especially since it was said before they mentioned him coming for the purpose of cutting up the species that were needed for the Lulavim, so.
Right. But when you look at a person, when we look at a person, we evaluate them based on the way they present themselves. Are they clean? Are they dressed in a funny way? You know, it's... When we see a woman with I forget the name of what the Muslim headscarf is, you know, we judge them, we put them in that box, they're Muslim, you know, and that has connotations, it has meanings to different people. But it's a very significant issue in the society because it creates separation. But at the same time, for many people, it's not creating separation per se. It's creating appreciation for the diversity. But the same ideas, the same words can mean different things to different people. Pasuk 95. Amar leho ha'ahu yudai ha'ane arba minen dilulav div kalcho akan l'ratsuye alma shematun ame anan sarikin Lone hag bahag el kirvar itaru eho havrayo avali mila hatayu tehot yeda emala. The Israelites spoke to them and asked, "Have you heard why we need the four kinds of the lulav to appease the world during this holiday, but not at any other time?" And they told him, "The friends have already explained this subject by telling the reason, but if you have a new explanation, then say it." Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, what's the question he asked?
Nobody has a question.
You know, but if you have a new explanation, then say it. I thought that was a good way to approach the rabbi.
Yeah, that's essentially what the Gate is saying. If I were writing a commentary, I would say this is clear as it is written.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also always go deeper. Have you ever heard that we have the four species to appease the world? We appease the world through the hearing of the Torah with the sacrifices, but not with the waving of the four species. The way that the four species draws the energy of Chesed, but it doesn't transfer it to the other nations. That's done through the listening to the Torah describing the sacrifices.
Well, I always felt, too, that one of the reasons we shake the lulav is to proclaim Hashem as one over the whole universe until the whole world does. And so it's like we're standing in proxy for everyone, which includes the 70 nations. That's the consciousness, that's one of the consciousnesses that I have when I shake the lulav.
Very good. Verse 96. Amar lom gadai ahu atar dianan daire peyahu zeyer dekal ho aske peyolaita veitalan durva merabanan. Rabbi Yitzhak bar yose mechoza'a Shemei Yahu Kol Yomar V'Yomar Amalam milim katim b'olaita v'amar deha v'chag v'inahu l'shalka aze avar al nafshenu tamayim haze dionim Baruch Hashem shelo natananu Erech l'shinehem Bekit shemayim lamayim Ela inun she'aramim Inun ravravim Memanan al she'aramim Apom umit shvartan Pesitrahu Israel the Karibna Matlon Maim Azedonim Gimadiata Marhamayim Azedonim. He said to them, "The place where we live is indeed a small one, but all indulge in the study of the Torah. We have a rabbi who is well known among the rabbis, whose name is Rabbi Yitzhak, and who is the son of Rabbi Yossi from Mechoza'ah. He teaches us new explanations of the Torah each and every day. And he said that during this holiday, it is the time for domination, when Israel obtained domination over the ministers of the 70 nations. So it is written, 'Then the proud waters have gone over our soul. Blessed be Hashem who has not given us as prey to their teeth.' And he asked, 'Does water have teeth?' And he replies that they, the proud waters, refers to the other nations, and the teeth refers to the supernal ministers of these nations, who are worshippers of the planets and constellations. They are blessed through Israel, and they are called proud waters, as it says, the malicious waters.'" Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it's explaining a code word from the nations as proud waters, which I don't think I've heard that before.
No, we haven't heard that before. We also haven't heard that by doing the sacrifices, we're taking domination over the other nations. We've been taught that it's sharing, not dominating.
Well, we know the Torah shows that the bulls decrease while the lamb stays the same. So I think it's hinting to that in the Torah.
I'm sorry, you broke up. Say it again.
I said in the Torah, it mentions the scriptures say that the bulls decrease, the sacrifices of the bulls that represent the nations decrease daily, but the lamb that represents Israel
right.
stays the same. You know, so there's kind of a hint in the Torah. I don't know if domination is the best word there, but... And then, of course, we have...
That's very nice.
It's also called the... It's all, you know, Sukkot is often referred to as the Feast of the Nations.
Yes.
But then we have Shemini Atzeret. So, after some...
Very nice.
And anyone can join and become a Jew or an Israelite. So, you know, the opportunity is always there.
I pass that again. our class time is up. So tonight at the 7 o'clock West Coast time class will be a Tikkuni Zohar class. And tomorrow at 4:30 we'll have this class, and at 7 o'clock we will have questions and answers. So I bid you all a beautiful evening. Shalom to all.
Okay, shalom, and thank you.